السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، we plan, Allah plans, and it always ends up being Allah's plan. And why this is so relevant at this point is because exactly what Maulana talked about was literally what I was supposed to talk about. Now I need to call Maulana and say, you need to talk about something else. I kid you not, almost verbatim. And I did not speak to him about this. So for the sake of everyone else, maybe who watches this later, I was talking about examples of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam doing things himself. The best way to teach people is to practically do it yourself. It's very important what I'm saying. Do not let this fall on deaf ears. Do not let it fall on many times we hear a hadith and we think of it nice, you know, and then it just kind of fades in the back of our memory. We all have children, and honestly, it starts at a very young age. If your child is already 5, 6, and honestly, it's kind of late. I'm not trying to say it's late and they're doomed. But the point is, your kids, they're like sponges and they absorb things. And the more you want them to do something, the more you have to do it yourself, so they'll absorb it from you. Kids don't listen. Students don't listen either. Okay, I know. I'm telling you. You have to show them that you understand what you're talking about. For example, when I teach Arabic grammar, it's probably one of the most boring subject, you know, because the problem for us is, and this kind of goes into my next segment, the problem is, when we want to learn something, especially when people come to study, their first thought process is, when are we going to open Bukhari? When are we going to open Muslim? When are we going to read all these high fiqh books and stuff? You know, we take 5 to 6 years before we even open Bukhari. Yeah, you have people who come, start to learn the deen a little bit, understand a little bit of Arabic wordings, and that's basically what that really means is, I only understand the Arabic. If the Arabic is on top and the English is on the bottom, then I can tell you I understand the Arabic. I really don't get it without it. And it's a disease, it's a problem. And they come and they say, we want to learn Bukhari. Why is the Imam always doing Riyadh al-Salihin? Why is he always doing these simple hadith books? Even though Riyadh al-Salihin is a very, very big, deep book. If you could implement what's in Riyadh al-Salihin, you would be a good Muslim and you die as a good Muslim. I can guarantee it. It's a really, really good book. But, you know, slowly but surely, your kids will do the same. Back to what I'm saying. The more you practice, the more they're going to do what you're doing. So don't take this like, you know, he's just saying something. It's very important. It's the most powerful way of teaching, and that is to practically do it. So I wanted to mention that incident again that Maulana mentioned about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam at the time of Hudaybiyah. And he mentioned it so eloquently in the sense that how the Sahaba radiallahu ajma'in felt at that moment. Dreams of Anbiya are considered wahi, by the way. So when he sees a dream, that means it's a command from Allah, it's wahi. He has to do it. Now the dream doesn't say whether you're going to do it now or later, it just says you're going to do it. So that's the interpretation. So for them, it was a very, very difficult thing to accept that, oh, we're going to have to just slaughter our animals and shave our heads and, you know, do qada of our umrah next year. No, we're not going to do this. And then on top of that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam signed a treaty that seems so one-sided. You know, if somebody from our town goes to you, you have to send them back. But if somebody from your town comes and they come to us, we don't have to send them back. But see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a plan. And Allah subhanahu, nobody can avert or change Allah's plans. So the Sahaba found it very difficult. And so when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam commanded them to shave their heads and to slaughter the animals so they could get out of the state of ihram with the idea that they would make it up the following year, they didn't do it. Now, I don't want to say these words because it's not true. For them, it's a different scenario. But another example of, we're just saying it was not enough. But that's a totally different, you gotta understand their mindset and their heart. It was not disobedience. You know what it was? Throughout history in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would say something, then he would stay silent, and all of a sudden Allah would reveal a command. So they delaying was not an act of disobedience, like we're not going to listen. It was a matter of they were in hope. Hopefully, Allah can feel, Allah can knows what's in our heart. He feels the thing that, He knows what we feel at this moment. Maybe He'll reveal some ruling, and He'll be like, you know what, just go to Mecca, take care of them. So they delayed the matter. But it wasn't until Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself did it on the mashwara of Umm Salama radiallahu anha. She said, why don't you do it? It'd be more effective than you just telling them. Because once you have done it, it has been cemented. It's been done. The command has been given. No wahi is going to be revealed after this in regards to this ruling changing. So that is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam practically did it. And thus that was more effective in trying to convince the Sahaba, or in our case, our own children, or our own students, or any of our youngsters. It's more effective when we ourselves practice what we are preaching to them. The another way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam teaching is that he used to teach ahkam gradually. So now, before I get into the examples, ahkam gradually, rulings gradually, we may all be able to really understand it, is, for example, when somebody first accepts Islam, you don't want to go tell them they have to do A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, and then it goes to Z and say, we have no more letters, but you still got to do more. You don't do that. However, there's something I do want to warn us about. You also don't lie to them about Islam. Don't do that either. If you're going to be a person who calls people to Islam, don't present Islam, that version of Islam, that only seems appealing when you say it from the front. It's easy going. No. It's also sacrifice. There's also patience involved. There's also 5 daily prayers. There's also fasting for 30 days. You know, it's not just have fun, you accept Islam, you got a problem, go complain to God, and you know what? You're all free from sin, like our Christian brothers do. Go to your pastor, just say you made a mistake and all your sins are forgiven. No, it's not like that. You have to work. So when you do invite, don't try to hide Islam. But at the same time, don't try to enforce all the rulings of Islam on them right away either. So that's when it comes to the rules of Sharia, gradually applying it. That would be practically for what happened with the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in. Now, as far as we are concerned, trying to apply this outside the scope of Sharia, you want your children to be a certain way, you want your students to be a certain way. It happens gradually. Gradually. Change happens gradually. Your own children, you want them to get rid of a certain bad habit. For example, he's here, he's a witness. He has a bad habit, my son. He's a kid, he doesn't realize it. He has a bad habit of instantly when you ask him, who did it? I didn't do it, it wasn't me. Now he can hear me now, he knows what I'm talking about. And I have to gradually remind him that, listen, lying will get you nothing in this world. You have to slowly remind them. You can't get upset right away. They're little kids. You know, you have to slowly, gradually teach them that lying will never get you anywhere in life. Right now, he's lying about a tiny thing. Did I brush my teeth? I didn't brush my teeth. Is it something to be so upset about? No, you gradually teach your children. You have to let them learn that, okay, lying is bad. You can't get upset right away, and you can't get mad right away, and you can't be like, you have to do it. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's practice was that he would gradually teach people about Islam. So here are a few examples in how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam did this practically. There's a hadith of a narration of some sahaba at a young age, close to the age of puberty, close to the age of maturity. They came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the first thing he taught them was iman. They said, he taught us iman, he didn't teach us Quran. Once we learned what it meant to be a Muslim, then he taught us Quran. But when we started learning Quran afterwards, it increased our iman. So that same thing I'm trying to tell people, when you want to come first learn about deen, don't just go open the translation of Bukhari. First go to the smaller books, first learn a little bit. First of all, you should be learning from a teacher, but I'm simply saying, learn from a smaller book, observe from smaller books, and then you can gradually, you can move up, as opposed to jumping straight to the top. And then all it will do is confuse you. Throughout Quran, we know Rasul Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, when it came to concerning the consumption of alcohol, it was very common for the Sahaba radiallahu anhu to consume alcohol. So the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made alcohol haram is that first Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about, yeah, it's good, you can make a drink out of it. Okay, you just said that. Makes you a little bit intoxicated. Okay. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, okay, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ قُلْ فِيهِمَا إِثْمٌ وَكَبِيرٌ كَبِيرٌ وَمَنَافِعُ لِلنَّاسِ وَإِثْمُهُمَا أَكْبَرُ مِنْ نَفْعِهِمَا. This is, I want to show you what this means. Sometimes people come to me, they ask me a question, and I say, you know, this is the same way I was. It's better that you don't do it. That's all I'm saying right now. The ruling is you're not supposed to do it. But I simply say, it's better that you don't do it. Because I'm trying to get them to change. I'm trying to get them to turn. If I sit there and say, it's haram, kullu haram. Let me tell you something. Aapke samne, they'll do it in your face, behind your back. They're gonna do the same thing. Because, you know, that's just not how it works. Allah understands the human psyche. So He first told them that, listen, there's a major sin in this alcohol. It leads you to do bad things, right? You get drunk and you can't lead salah. You forget where you are. Listen, it has some benefit. وَمَنَافِعُ لِلنَّاسِ However, وَإِثْمُهُمَا أَكْبَرُ مِنْ نَفْعِهِمَا Its sin is greater than its benefit. That's another way of saying it. Just avoid it. It's better that you don't do it. It's better that you don't do it. That's how Allah is saying it. Then Allah reveals the Quran. حُرِمَتْ عَلَيْكُمْ And then Allah says, خَمَرْ is haram for you. Alcohol is haram for you. You understand the gradual way how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala understands us. He did not want the Sahaba radiyallahu ajma'in to have to change something right away. Then it says when this ayah was revealed about the hurmat of it, the streets of Medina were filled with wine flowing on the floor. Because at that point, they were convinced. One companion came down the streets reciting the verse. As people heard it, someone who had recently just consumed alcohol put their hands in their mouth to throw it out. How do you think that happened? You think it happened because day one they were told it was haram? No. So when you teach people, there's a gradual approach you want to take, not just straight and tell them right away. That is the sunnah of our Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to practice on this. Ameen. Jazakallah khair.